Father, as we come again in Jesus' name, there's no way that we could possibly express the sweetness that's in our revelation of you. How grateful you are that you made us to know the truth, and the truth has made us free. We ask you to enable this precious people to lay a hold of the Word of God, which is able to build them up and give them an inheritance among all them that are sanctified, set apart in that day when you'll gather your precious people to you. Bless this time of service, and we give you the praise now and forever in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. If you would like to read with me this morning, turn your Bibles to the 19th chapter of the Gospel by Luke. And I'll read verses 12 and 13 there. I hope you're familiar with the entire portion, but my text is found in this portion that I'll read to you. Jesus is speaking, and he said, "Therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants, now, and delivered them 10 pounds." Now, these pounds, of course, are a type of the Word of God that he has given us, in which we find the unsearchable riches of Christ. "And he said unto these 10 servants, occupy till I come." I come to you this morning, and I want to engage your attention what may be the most powerful incentive there is to walk with God. And the words are, occupy till I come. I think of the reasons, if I sit and meditate on these four simple words, the things that appear in its depth and its riches. Think of it. Occupy till I come. And let me first point out the words are the words of that God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ, that the angels said, Emmanuel, our God, with us. That one that has brought us into relationship with God. And his words are the purest and the truest that could ever be spoken. Words that we can neglect, or we can reject, or we can ask God to keep us in harmony without them. But there will be consequences. Words that are we all must give an account to. For time and eternity are together with us in a sense this morning. And we here in this veil of time may at any moment step across the threshold into that which is eternity. And so the words are teaching us a warning, and they teach us a direction, and they teach us a revelation of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, "If I go away, I will come again, that where I am, there ye may be also." So the Bible makes it clear, there will come a reckoning day for all of us, for the life he has entrusted us with. is the life that will make us not rich in pounds or rich in dollars or rich in houses and lands and so on. But every one of you, I don't care what your color, I don't care what your station in society, I don't care what your education is or isn't, I don't care the money that you don't have or do have, let me say to you with unqualified, positive statement, your life in this world is here to gather up the riches of God. It's like the song said, and I mentioned it last Sunday, heaven's wealth is lying scattered all along life's lowly road. Gather up some precious jewels by the way. And so I am here this morning to encourage you to occupy yourself, regardless of what your standard of temporal living may be. I'm asking you to occupy yourself with that fact that God, according to Ephesians 1 and 3, has blessed you with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. Get occupied with it. You may face it by this time tomorrow, but whether tomorrow, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 50 years from now, which isn't at all likely, let me tell you, you will come face to face with this situation. Now, certainly there will be a second coming. I believe all the evidence that we have is that it's going to be very soon. And next to that bloody and awesome and awful yet wonderful event at Calvary, which expresses in the death of Jesus Christ the unspeakable fact of God's love for us, is the plan that he has for our life after we are saved. He don't just drop you and say, that's it, like many ministers would try to make you believe, that after all, it isn't valuable to enter into God's plan for your life. God has a plan, and it's beyond the imagination of most of God's precious people to take you from that dunghill from which you were born and put you on a throne with his precious Son, Jesus Christ, to rule and to reign with him throughout the ages to come. But today, we undoubtedly are in that period of the church dispensation that is described in Revelation 3:14 as the church of Laodicea, a church that was neither hot nor cold, a church that says it's rich, it's increased with goods, it has need of nothing. Oh, it has needs of lots of new cars and new homes and better things and better clothes. And they'll tell you of that need, and there's any number of preachers that will encourage you to go after that particular need. But this need that they don't have a need of is what I'm mainly interested in. Amen. And I hope I can get you interested in gold that's been tried in the fire, gold that they're going to walk on in heaven has no real value in its presence. When you go to heaven If you are going, and if you aren't, I pray God you won't let this meeting pass you by without making your calling and election sure. But a wealth that eternity cannot begin to exhaust. But you see, precious hearts, this church has need of nothing. But in reality, that kind of an individual is, the Bible says, is wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. And it needs to buy of him, tried in the fire, the raiment and the clothing that will cover their nakedness. And further, I believe if we really believed in the soon coming of Jesus, if we had a heart understanding of that event and not just a head knowledge, if we were endued and inspired by the unspeakable assurance of his second coming, that worldliness, that sinfulness, that cowardliness, that prayerlessness, that self-will, that love that is waxing cold and outright hate taking the place of that love and being harbored by some of God's precious people. Listen, I don't have to wonder about this. I have heard God's children express, "I hate, I hate, I hate." Jesus made it one of the worst of crimes. He said, if you hated your brother, you were guilty of murder. You think about it. Think about it. Think of the condition in which many of God's precious people live. All the difficult and prevailing problems present in Christianity would be laid aside if we were to take in what he has for us. And these things would be replaced by a Christ-like separation from the world and an humble consecration. And there would be an urgent effort to make ourselves ready for a wedding, as expressed in Revelation 19 and 7. Let us be glad and rejoice, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. You talk about a gala event. You talk about society. You talk about the privileged, the so-called beautiful people. All of that, when you get your eyes open, is like a pot slop. Of course, most of you don't know what that is. You weren't raised in my day. But note, again, our text. A certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. He receives that kingdom while he's gone. How could that be? Well, he's building it up in you and me. He's building it up in people like us, if we'll permit him. Have you any idea how to be rich? Let God make you rich. Have you any idea how to repay him for what you think you might owe him? I'll take the cup of salvation and drink it and drink it and drink it. For over 70 years, I have learned where my true life is, where my true treasures are, where my true things can be had. Oh, I see, and I'll be going in a few days just for 3 days, and I'll see if any of them are alive, some of my old buddies and classmates. I don't know whether any of them alive this morning or not, but I think of how God called me away from that wasted life passion. And I think of what God has brought me all of these years. I wouldn't trade one day of it for all of the fun I thought I had as a sinner. And so this nobleman, you see, he went into that far country, and he said, now he called his 10 servants. 10 is the number of responsibility according to ability, and you will be responsible according to the ability that God may give you. If he didn't call you to preach, don't get up here and try to tell me how to do it. And if he called you to sit in a pew, sit in it, and thank God you can sit in it. One of the hardest things to do is to sit and be faithful and just simply wait on God and let him enrich your life. But he gives them 10 pounds. I don't know just how much that would add up to in dollars today. And he said, now you occupy till I come. That word occupy means to trade with. And it refers to the state of life in which we live. You see, my standing is I'm a child of God. That can never change. Paul never wrote to any of the churches and said, I've sent Timothy, or I sent Titus, or I sent some of the other brethren to see if you're still saved. That was never a question. Once you gave your heart to God, you have eternal life. You can never perish, neither can any man ever pluck you out of his hand. And the Father which gave you to him is greater than all. And no one can pluck them out of the Father's hand. And they are agreed, and they pray. And Jesus prayed that you would be one with them and not at opposition in what they have said and are going to do. And it won't do you any good. It'll do you harm to kick against what God's doing. His plans are going to be consummated. He who began the good work in you, Brother Gies, he will perform it. How many times would you have got away from it if it wasn't for him? How many times I would if it weren't for him? You see, he's the author and he's the finisher of your faith. But those things you think he occupied, the state in which we live, it's not Colorado or Missouri or Wyoming. That's the type of life that you're living, the level of the life. Those things which are lawful are unlawful, that is, according to the Word of God. That is, are we living a godly life? Or are we living a worldly life? The nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself his kingdom. And Hebrews 11 records some of the thrilling events of that godly life that was lived in the Old Testament. And added to that gallant band, I don't know how you could quite describe the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews as you see some of the things that took place. Women received their dead raised to life again. That's a statement that we only know one or two incidents of it happening. Why are added to this are the events of the church age. I think I've had several experiences in my life as a Christian that will set me apart from a carnal Christian in that day that will come. The only thing we can say is eternity will reveal just how much you yielded to God. And Hebrews 12:1-2 says, Wherefore, seeing we're compassed about with so great cloud of witnesses, that is, the men and the women of the 11th chapter, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. You know what that sin is? You didn't believe God. You had an opportunity to believe Him, but you didn't believe Him. You walked away from it. There's nothing in your path that God can't enable you to triumph in. Amen. And He, as Brother Gies and Bob sang there a while ago, is He? Is He with me? Will He be with me? Precious hearts, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. He will never part from you. You may not recognize Him. You may let conditions and situations take you away from faith, but He was there for you whether you took Him or not. And I have had to see some of this in a bad way. I can remember for almost 3 years suffering an agony with arthritis that I could never tell. If you have arthritis, you have a little idea of what I suffered until I couldn't lift my head from a pillow. Did God love me? Why did He allow me to suffer that long? And then one night in the bed when I couldn't lift my head from a pillow, the Lord sweetly said, "Now you're healed." I didn't feel much different in my body, but my soul grasped that reality, and a peace and a rest came in my life. And in the next 4 or 5 weeks, all of that torment and all of that ache and pain just seemed to drain out of my body. I've been healed, bang, all at once. But then I've been healed over a period of time. You see, you never give up on God, and He never really gives up on you. That's the wonderful part of things. So we are to run with patience the race that He sets before us, looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before Him, endured His cross, despising its shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. Now, this is my day. Do you know today is my day? But today is your day. Tomorrow is not our day. We may have it, but we may not have it. But this is our day and your day. And it's a time for us to get ready for His coming. Occupy till I come. We will never have another day. And regardless of the place we have in life or might have in this life or in the body of Christ, it is only a temporary thing. And how we occupy our temporary time will determine our place in eternity. You see, we need to understand that each of us, in the plan of God, as I've said earlier, are blessed with all the spiritual blessings that is in the heavens in Christ. It's like having the $100 billion run in the bank. That belongs maybe presently, temporarily, to Bill Gates. It's over there. It's there for my need. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches in Christ. What is your need? Are you availing yourself? Do you write the check? Well, I'm not going to get aside in some of the things he's done for me. It would take too long. And in Ephesians 1:3, you'll read this. But note, he called his 10 servants, and he gave each 10 pounds. And he said, occupy till I come. That is, he says, be faithful. He says, keep the word of my patience. And I don't care if the place be a great or a small place in the eyes of men. All anyone can do is the will of God. Regardless of where you are, the only thing you can do is the will of God. And he'll not hold you to do anything that isn't his will. And he'll let you know what that will is. Maybe it's like my dear old mother to stand over a wash tub and wash and sew and cook and work almost day and night for her 8 orphaned children. But I'll say she did it well. Bless her old heart. She's over there in heaven, and I think I'll take a little time to say hello to her at least. One of the last conversations she had with me, she said, son, I'm going to be satisfied just to get through the gates. Now, the Bible didn't teach her that. Her son didn't teach her that. But her religion taught her that. She said, I don't want to be hoggish. Now you can have all of that you talk about and all of those things. Precious hearts, I want it because Jesus wants me to have it.
Amen.
How could you possibly please him? Oh, dear ones, keep the word of his patience. In the church, there is one great reality that faces you. You couldn't say this to the 12 apostles. You couldn't say it to Daniel. You couldn't say it to Samuel. You couldn't say it to David. I can say it to you. Get ready to be in the bride of Christ. She will make herself ready. Do you want to join that group, or do you? If you get your eyes open, you'll want to. Paul prayed the eyes of your understanding might be enlightened, that you might come to know what is the hope of your calling. Note, Paul said, this one thing I do, I preached on it recently. I point out in Israel, there were 3 occupations for them. They were workers, they were warriors, and they were worshipers. The highest thing was to be a worshiper. It's wonderful to be a warrior, but the lowest thing was to be a worker. But let me tell you something. God has vested all of those things in every one of his children. He wants you to be a worker. How many have you gone out to reap? Do you really? Why is it? It isn't some special gift necessarily that God puts in this person to win souls and the other fella can't. That person that's winning souls, you watch them and they're after it all the time. You see, precious hearts, the wealth of God is everywhere. You can pick up as much of it as you wish. Because if you win Christ as the bridegroom, just like Ruth with Boaz, when they got through with that love affair, she owned it all with him. Have you thought of that? Don't you want that? You know, it's going to be a long time, eternity. That's going to be a long time Birdie. Eternity. Oh, my, 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 my. I was thinking the other day, Ron, there's no way thank you don't seem right to me. It just isn't enough. I can say hallelujah. I can say glory to God. I can say those things and I'll lie in bed and say hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I get so excited sometimes. But I finally say, thank God I've got eternity to say it. How wonderful it is. So you can occupy and be a lazy Christian, or you can be an indifferent believer, or you can occupy and be a Martha, be taken up altogether with works, but you cannot occupy and neglect the fact you are in a war. You are in a war. You just as well to get your weapons because you're in a war. You know the devil is here and he has come to you to steal, to kill, and to destroy you. And he'd destroy you right this minute if he could. He don't want you sitting there, Ron. You're stupid. Just ask him. Precious hearts. Don't you realize what's ahead of you if you want it? If you want it. And so you are in a war, not with flesh and blood. It isn't that wife or that husband or something of that kind that's got you all upset. I'll tell you what's got you all upset. You haven't put Christ in the place he wants in your life.
Amen. First place. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. You see, precious hearts, if you're right with God, he'll take care of everything.
Amen.
That's just a fact. Get your heart open to the purpose of God, and you can pass it up if you want to. That's why you're sitting there. You can walk out that door and say, phooey. But one day you'll face phooey. He records, have you ever thought, little old chip now man has come this far. Got a little chip the size of a postage stamp and 8,400 different things on that one little chip. Facts. Now can you imagine God? Someone said, how can he keep track of everything? Mercy and life. He makes that chip business. Man gets so proud and he struts like the duck in the barnyard muck. And he struts around and quacks. But it's like the poet said, one day he's out there, he can't fly anymore, and he cocks his head and he hears the cry of the wild flying south. And he runs and flaps his wings, but he's not the duck he's supposed to be. He can't fly. A lot of Christians like that. You see, you can't fully occupy and not be a worshiper. You see, the Bible says, and I get alarmed with you precious people. The Bible says, God is spirit. Did you ever read it? Read it. And he seeks such to worship him. You know the only thing you can do for God is take the cup of salvation and drink what he has provided for you. I talked to our precious saint here this week. And I told him now it's one of the hardest things in the world to do sometimes is take. God has healing for you. Will you take it? Oh, you say he's not doing it. That's the reason he has your grandson to be a heart specialist. He made the heart, but he don't know how to take care of it. Well, according to the doctors, I've been living now about 3 or 4 years, and they know I'm going to drop over dead any time. See, I'm not kept by a sound heart. I'm kept by a sound Savior.
Amen.
And I believe He'll keep me here every second He wants me here. I'm not excited. Oh, Daddy. My children love me, you know. God love them, and I appreciate it. I appreciate it. Dad, let me help you out of the car. Oh, mercy alive, get out of my way. I'm not dead yet.
Hallelujah.
Well, to occupy in this fashion, we must realize we will encounter suffering. You see, we reign with Him if we suffer with Him. How much have you suffered to go your way? How many times? Oh, Brother Hill, if you just wouldn't preach so much, if you just wouldn't go so deep into the things of God, there's a lot of people that would come your way if you just preach salvation. Well, when I got to looking up that word salvation, it was the things of God from beginning to end. There's no way I can preach all that. I'm trying. Maybe you'll get tired listening. Well, if we didn't have eternity in our hearts, we might gather to ourselves as much of the world's possessions as possible. But God's word exhorts us, set your affection on things above, not things of earth. May God enable us to lay up the treasures of eternity. So occupy, and I'm getting to the end of it at last. Occupy till I come is a powerful incentive. I think of the cry of the soldiers of Sam Houston's army. Do you know what their cry was? How many of you know your history? Remember the Alamo! That became the incentive. And old Sam Houston's army, about a tenth of, I can't call his name just offhand. Most of you know it anyway. But they went in there and found them asleep in their tents and things. And that little ragtag band of our soldiers whipped the socks off them. And that's how Texas became a part of the United States, if you only... Anyway, you see, I think of that cry. You remember when the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor, the cry was, remember Pearl Harbor. I remember the great admiral of the Japanese Navy, he said, I think we've just woke up a giant. And truly it was. When those hydrogen bombs began to fall on the cities of Japan, do you think God allowed and favored America above Japanese people? No, but at that time we knew how to turn to Him. And you think of the Trade Center. Oh, for a few weeks we saw flags flying everywhere and everywhere. Now we're beginning to forget it. Occupy till I come is such a powerful incentive. And that we might in real life be like a child who believes in the fairy tale that we'll soon see them practice in the coming of Santa. You see, Jesus is coming. And this is not a fairy tale. God's Son is coming. He who wears the many crowns. They saw him coming and they said, oh, look, they many crowns. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. And I know him like that. But there's one way that I can know him and you can know him that's above all the kings and the lords, and that is as a bridegroom.
Amen.
You want him as your bridegroom forever? It'll require love. It'll require tenderness. I think of how it was with me. When I was thinking along this line, I thought of that poem I said when I was in the second grade. Mother calls me William. Father calls me Will. Sister calls me Willie, but the fellers call me Bill. I'm mighty glad I ain't a girl. I'd rather be a boy without them sashes and curls and things that wore in flatteroy. I love to chomp green apples and go swimming in the lake. I hate to take that castor oil. They give it for bellyache. Most all the time, the whole year round, there ain't no flies on me, but just before Christmas, I'm as good as I can be. Occupy till I come. Occupy till I come. If that fairy tale can make a good boy for a few days out of this boy, there's a great incentive. You think of what's beyond. You think of where I could be in a moment, in a half a wink of an eye. You think of what is waiting for me just across the threshold of time. Almost 74 years dedicated, number one, to him.
Amen.
Oh, precious arts. I think to occupy is to have a life that conforms to heaven's standard, to be fearless of man and his favor or fury, whichever. Let eternity rule in your heart, for we're not long for this life at best. Like Israel, to please God, they must enter and possess their promised land. And like Moses said to his father-in-law, Hobab, we are journeying to the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you. Come thou with us, and we will do thee good. But Hobab answered, and God forbid that you answer me like that this morning, I will not, but I will return to my own land. What's your decision at this point? This moment in your time? Do you want what God has for you? Then occupy. Occupy. Now, I could go on and tell you how some of them did and some of them didn't. One of them, and I'd like to be in that. One fella, he said, come over here, buddy. He said, the time has come for me to pass out my rewards. He said, Do you have that money I gave you? Oh, yes. He said, and I invested it. I knew you were a very critical man. You were a king that expected to reap where you didn't sow. So he said, here is that 10 pounds, and I won 10 others. Oh, he said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. He said, you've been faithful over a few things. I'm going to make you ruler over many things. He said, there's 10 cities. Take them. Here was another fella. He said, what'd you do? Oh, he said, I gained 5. Oh, he said, good. Can you imagine what it's going to be like to meet him?
Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you.
Oh, come on here, he said. 5. Why? He said, there's 5 cities, 5 kingdoms. Just take them. Here came one fella. You know what I did with that? Linen, napkin, speaks of self-righteousness. Oh, I've been a good boy. I never did cheat anybody, steal anybody. I never did say any bad words or anything like that. Why, God love you, the Pope. Is that fair, maybe? Joseph Smith, you reckon he was? Boast and brag, the Mohammedans, Muslims, they boast about the Christian they can kill. Where can you worship God with hate? No way, you sweet guy. I love you. Don't you know that?
Yes.
I know you love me too. I said about old Vern there. I said he's got something that he don't even see colors anymore. I hope. He was pretty rough when he first came in here. Weren't you, Vern? I was too one time. Oh, my. Isn't it a tragedy, the little foolish things the devil can wrap us up in?
Amen.
But, oh, thank God. I got something in there that made me love everybody.
Thank you, Jesus.
And pray for them that despitefully used me.
Amen.
And said all manner of evil against me falsely for his name's sake. They didn't do, no, they, it was for his name's sake they were doing that, or they wouldn't have done it. Well, he said, you know, I knew you were that fella. So you see, this old snot rag, I wrapped your gifts up in that. And here it is, brand new, just like it was when you gave them to me. No one ever guessed that you saved me. I got out there among them fellas, and I just participated in all their frivolity and all of the rascality, and I was just a regular guy. And now what you gonna do about it? Oh, he said, you wicked and unprofitable servant. Now, I'm going to meet him. I'm going to meet the fellow that told that story. Didn't you know that?
Amen.
At the end of the journey, G-O-D. Oh, God, help us. Are you going to occupy till he comes?
Amen.
Well, you better. You've got a good wife there, liable to pull your hair. I watched that fight of old Oscar de la Hoya. He said he had his wife, and she said, you better not come back here. He'd rather took a whipping from her, from that other guy's take a whipping from her. Is that the way it is with you and him? Well, bless your heart. Makes me love everybody, shall we pray? Thank you, Father. And we don't know how to ever say it enough to relieve ourselves, but thank you. And we ask you to enable us as we go down this old journey of life. Help us to gather up precious jewels by the way. Thank you. Thank you. We give you the praise.